Hey folks, this episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code STORY8, and you are supporting this podcast.
And we thank you.
Hi, this is Kevin Popovich from Idea House, and you are listening to Storyworthy. Love that logo.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, are coming to you from the Beverly Hilton Ballroom, where every year they give out the Golden Globes. I love the Golden Globes, and people just get drunk during the show.
Golden Globes, yeah. See, I was just going to say that. That's a fun show because the people are sitting at round tables and they're drinking.
Yeah, and they're a little bored, and you can see them be a little bored.
Well,
it's awesome.
Well, they're chatting, they're going to each other's tables, they're schmoozing, they're getting their pictures taken. But it's not like that focus thing where you have to be in an audience, you know,
yeah,
and
I think
stare
when
forward.
They go to the Oscars, people are like, okay, I am on camera, so I'm a professional, I'm going to appear. But like, remember last year at the Golden Globes, they had the it was shot like somebody was doing a joke, I guess. I think it was Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig, and they're doing a bit, right?
Right.
And they cut to Tommy Lee Jones in the audience, who just looks pissed. But I guarantee you, he was not listening to a word they were saying.
Oh, right.
He just had a look on his face like,
right.
I'm 63 years old. I've won an Oscar. I just want to go home.
Right.
But he looked like he thought, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. But I guarantee you, he wasn't doing it. He was just staring into space like, is this over yet? Can I go?
Well, but at least, you said that was the Golden Globes.
That was the Golden
Globes.
But
at least they're eating and they're drinking.
I'm saying he was being a normal human being.
Yeah, exactly.
If he was at the Oscars or the Emmys, he would know, I'm going to be Tommy Lee Jones, the actor, not Tommy Lee Jones, the person.
Right. Well, if they were at the Oscars and you get up and leave, then they, of course, have a seat filler to go in there and keep the audience filled. That's obvious.
Exactly.
Right.
As evidenced in a famous episode of Seinfeld, where Kramer accidentally wins a Tony because
he's
a seat filler at the
Tony.
But it all comes back to Seinfeld for me. Anyhow.
It always does, doesn't it? I have to say, when it comes to award shows, I haven't thought about them in a long time. But then our storyteller tonight, Kevin Popovich, he brings forth the topic award shows. And so then that's what we start thinking about.
Yeah, exactly. Golden Globes,
the
Oscars.
Now, I went to the Comedy Central Award show in, gosh, it must have been like 1999, and I still have the swag from that show. Best swag I ever got. You know what it was, Hannes?
No, what?
Jumper cables.
Really?
And they're in a little container, and you put them in your car, and I've owned three or four cars since then, and I just transfer them car to car, and it says jump into comedy, Comedy Awards 1999. But I love that swag. That was
no,
good
that's
swag.
Great. See, because you said 1999, I thought the swag was going to be like a beeper holder or something. We made the sound engineer laugh.
Sean
that's
Merrick
good.
Laugh. I've
yeah,
actually
like
never
any
heard
any
the
of the swag
laugh.
That is like technology based is not going to work.
Okay, what about the Emmy Awards?
Emmy Awards I like. The problem with the Emmy Awards is, see, the Oscars is the best awards for a reason. They don't give out a lot of Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
There's only, what is it, four acting categories, supporting and lead. That's it. If you won an Oscar for acting, you really must be fucking getting
you've made
an
accomplishment.
Emmys, they give out acting awards for regulars. They give out acting awards for guest stars. They give out acting awards for guest stars
special
in comedies. Guest stars in dramas. Guest stars in movies of the week. Well, nobody talk about knowing my age. Nobody's made a movie of the week in 20 years. But it's like there's so many categories for Emmys
right. That
if you're in television for 20 years and you don't win an Emmy, you must have pissed off somebody.
Okay, well, I dated a guy. This is when I first moved to L.A. I dated this guy who won an Emmy for writing on the Dennis Miller Show. And he kept it in a Trader Joe's bag at the bottom of the closet. And I asked him one time if I could see it, and he got the Emmy out. And I noticed on the top of the wings, it was tarnished on the top of the wings.
Okay.
And I asked him, why. And he explained that after the award show, they all went out to dinner, and he set his Emmy award right in front of him at the table, and then he stuck little olives on top of the wings,
right?
And it tarnished.
See, that's always, and of course, I envy comedy writers on great shows, but you see, like Daily Show wins like best writing staff every year. Well, 25 guys go up there,
yeah, right,
and it's like. And I always think
these guys are the best of the best. No, they're best of the best, but it's like
I'm thinking that the top three guys out of the 25 are looking at the guys at the bottom of the 25 and like, this guy gets a fucking Emmy too. I've been, you know, it's like, are they all equal at 25 guys? Is it really?
Well, maybe it's a team, and they're getting paid. Well, I don't know if they're getting paid. It's a below the line. A writer is a below the line thing, isn't it? It's an automatic.
In television, especially in comedy, writers are, well, they're probably treated like shit, but they're very important.
Well, they get paid a lot of money. I dated one for sure. I mean, I don't think they're treated like shit.
I like how you're like, I wouldn't have dated a fucking writer if he didn't have money.
No, that's not what my point is at all. But they weren't treated like shit. No, they were treated like gods. I mean, they really were. They were actually at that time, his show was right across from Friends over at NBC, and they had a treat room, like a catering room, and they could write anything they wanted on the chalkboard, and then it would appear there magically. So you could write something like Jujubes. Or you could write, you know, salmon.
You could write anal beads.
And they would appear right there in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Now, let me say this.
Chilled anal beads.
About awards. One time, I was at a party at Christina Ricci's house. Yeah, I'm dropping names.
You are dropping them heavy.
And I was in the bathroom, and I look under the sink for an extra roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, sure you were.
True story. And under the cabinet, I saw her Blockbuster Entertainment Award for her work in Sleepy Hollow. So this is where Christina Ricci keeps her awards.
I like that. So you weren't looking for Coke or something or evidence.
No,
you were just looking for toilet paper.
No, I know. I was at a party. I look under the thing. I'm just saying that awards don't mean it. You know, I guess it could be important to, you know, to at least maybe be acknowledged in your field. But if it just came down to awards,
what would you do if you actually, you won an award, not an Oscar.
Have you won an award?
Well, you and I won a potty last year. Was it the Crashy?
I got a potty.
And we won a podcast award last year by virtue of showing up, which is awesome.
Minute. Chris Gore. No, they were called the Crashers.
The
Crashies. They weren't called the potties, but that's funny, honest.
Okay, well, we'll start a rival. Well, you know how there's the Grammys and then there's the Country Music Awards and then the American Academy of Country Music Awards?
Right.
So we can just have our own awards called the potties.
There you go. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be nice to be acknowledged, but I think that if you got used to winning awards, that would be tricky too.
Well, it's like, it was actually kind of fun. I mean, even at that, it was like, okay, we won that and we, you know, we said a couple of funny things in front of 12 people and it was kind of a funny, they made these little statues. I kind of liked the statue and I won, let me just say this.
I know what you won.
Employee of the Month.
Oh, did you?
At Universal Studios once, which I believe the Mayans predicted as part of the end of the world. And I have literally like a beautiful crystal award thing with my name etched in it.
That's hilarious. What do you use that for? Doorstop?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, what would
literally
you do with that?
I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is.
Do you know, and that's a lot of people though, right? Because Universal, I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, it was for my department.
Just for your department?
Yeah.
See, because I one time was flight attendant of the month for the airline, and there were like 9,000 flight attendants. I was pretty excited about that. And then the airline, because it's all seniority, they didn't give a shit. They just shit right on me when I told them I wanted a leave of absence to volunteer for our country and go to the Peace Corps. And they said, fuck you.
Yeah.
And I resigned.
They literally said, fuck you.
No, but I was impressed with myself, you know, and I thought it meant something. I think that's my point. And I don't really think it meant anything except that I got a
It was your turn.
I got a couple of letters, and then the supervisor said, oh, I got somebody. You know what I mean?
No, it's like when I got this, and believe me, it meant nothing. I believe I got a $5 Starbucks gift card.
Oh,
that's good.
Gosh.
I can buy half a coffee. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
What I think I got, now that I think of it, I think I got credit in the U.S. Air merchant store, like in the airport where you got, why you want to go to an airport and then buy a t-shirt of the airline you're flying on?
That you work for. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Literally,
I remember I was like, really? I looked around and I said, ugh, obviously everybody else fucked up this month. Hey, speaking of fucking up, Storyworthy is an official selection of the LA Podfest. That'll be happening October 4th, 5th, and 6th in Santa Monica. So if you want more information, including the other podcasts, it'll be there. And really, this is going to be a lot of fun. And also hotel information. You go to lapodfest.com. That's lapodfest.com.
All right, you guys, stay tuned because Kevin Popovic is on his way here. Hey, honey. Yes, I wanted to talk a little bit about our friends over at Squarespace.
Oh, please do.
Yes, yes. You know, Squarespace, they have these beautiful designs for you to start your website with and all the different style options you need to create a totally unique website for you or your business.
Right, and it's incredibly easy to use. But if you need some help or you're technologically challenged like I am, Squarespace has an amazing support team, works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could talk to a human being.
That's right, and it starts at just $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year.
So start a trial with no credit card required and start building your website today.
That's right, folks. At Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code STORY8 to get 10% off and to show your support for Storyworthy.
Squarespace is everything you need to create an exceptional website.
Next week on Storyworthy, we have writer-comedian Ed Krasnick.
And I'll be talking about how I drove cross-country the first time and sat in the governor's chair, the governor of Oregon, without his knowledge.
That's next week on Storyworthy. And we're back. We're still at the Beverly Hilton, but we have gone up to the room that Whitney Houston died in. And we're looking at the bathtub.
I knew you were going to go there, man. I totally knew you were going to go there.
I want to know if they tell people that they've rented that room. You know, they can't remove the room out of the building.
They could change the bathtub out.
I know, but her spirit will still be there in the tile.
But at least you'll always love them. All right, you guys, we got a real storyteller here. Kevin Popovich is here. Now, earlier I said Popovic because when you look at his name, it ends with a C, but you see there is a Popovich.
There's still an accent, I believe.
At the end. You just have to do that.
That's why Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs changed the spelling of his name, because he is helpful, whereas our guest is like, I'm gonna spell my name wrong, and then I'm gonna fucking blame you. And as a guy whose first name is Hannes, believe me, there's nothing more entertaining than calling people on the fact that they pronounced your name wrong, and they've never heard before. It's like, hey, man. Anyhow, enough about me. Please go on with his bio.
All right, you guys, Kevin Popovich is here right now. He is an author and the founder and CEO of Idea House. Hannes, you'll like this. Idea House, spelled H-A-U-S.
Yes, the German way.
Something's going on there.
That's the fine German way.
Creative,
that's all you know. It's good.
It's a creative communications agency. He has a new book out right now called 20 Years Communications, 20 Leaders, 20 Questions, Hundreds of Lessons. But first and foremost, Kevin Popovich is a guy I knew in college.
Woo!
You can find him on Twitter at Kevin Popovich. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Kevin Popovich.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, and welcome to my story about award shows. When we got started in the business back in school, Christine, they taught us a lot about communications. They taught us about advertising, about marketing design, and they threw us into this big program, and we had to choose where we wanted to go. Well, I chose advertising as my start. And in advertising, you get started by looking at those mentors, those people who have come before you, right? So within the American Advertising Federation, I looked to those who had come before me. And the leaders, those who are accomplished, the names that I was told to model myself after, were those who were Addy Award winners. And that was my real introduction into award shows. So as an aspiring creative, I looked to those who had come before me, those who design ad campaigns and TV spots and radio commercials. And when I grew up, I wanted to be like them. And I started my agency at 25, and I worked diligently on the different types of my craft so that one day I too could be an Addy Award winner. So a couple years go by, and Idea House gets the reputation for being a little hot shop in Pittsburgh. Thank you very much. As we progressed, we started entering our work because we felt that it was worthy of at least consideration for an award. So as aspiring creatives do, they polish up their best work, they mount it on the board, they submit it, lick a stamp on it, get it in before the deadline, and pray. They pray, say a little prayer at night, "Dear Lord, please let me win an Addy." So one day in the mail, we get a certificate or letter announcing that we are a finalist in the Addies. The clouds opened up. The light comes down. Could it be that my dream has come true? So we prepare ourselves. We go to the Addies and we win. Clouds open up. Everybody starts clapping.
you know, girls throw their underwear up on the stage. I was single at the time. And I go to the stage, and I am presented with an Addy. And now it's in my hand. And now I have proof that I'm as good as everybody else. So you take it to the after party. You do funny things with it. People pose with it. You drink some more. You take some funnier pictures, a lot of which people can't see. And when we got to the studio, we put it in a place of reverence. And that was the first thing that we looked to every day that we came back into the studio that fueled us for that next week's worth of work. Now, there was other award shows that came after that, some for public relations, some for advertising, some for marketing, some for design. And we entered those shows and we won more awards. And we put those awards next to the Addy in their place of reverence. And as the awards came in, there was more on the wall. There was more statuettes. And as the story goes, you know, this is supposed to be reflective of who we are and what we accomplish. So I felt very good about it. Obviously, we used it to shamelessly market Idea House to the rest of the city who hadn't hired us for their work yet. And then I got a call in February saying that Buffalo needed me to judge their Addy show. Well, now, not only am I an Addy Award winner, I'll be a judge. Yes, they will look to me, little me from Pittsburgh, PA, to tell Buffalo who is the best of the best in the Buffalo Metropolitan Network. So they send a limousine down to me in the middle of February. All right, it is snowing. We have a blizzard. They need to get me up there in time to meet the rest of the judges to go through the ceremony. Right, so we finally get up there. I get ushered in to meet the rest of the judges. You do a couple handshakes, you swap some business cards, you pretend like you know the other person, and you throw down a couple drinks in preparation for your work the next day. Well, awake the next day, of course, enjoying my continental breakfast with came with the comp room for being a judge. And then they paraded us down to a television studio where there was rows and rows of tables with all of the submissions laid out categorically. Much like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, there was this ominous room full of work that we had to judge. Now, the rules were simple. Here is your clipboard. Here's a sheet of paper. Write the category name and tell us which is the best. Now, I had this little moment. I'm supposed to look at something on the table that I've just seen, and now I've got tables upon tables of this, and my vote is going to go with the other five, and we're going to say who is the best in the market. We're going to say who should get the Addy, who shouldn't, what agency is better than the others, and I all of a sudden found that I had a problem with this. What the fuck did I know about any of this work, right? I didn't know who the client was. I didn't know who the budget was. I didn't know how long it took. I didn't know about production issues. I didn't know about the target audience. I didn't know a damn thing. But I and five other people who didn't know a damn thing were going to bestow these awards that affected careers and the success of agencies. I cast my votes, I put my pencil down, and I drank away the rest of the evening reflecting on what I did. I took the limousine back the next morning during even a worse snowstorm, and I got to say, I really thought about what had just happened, because for all of my career, I have looked to the stars that had come before me. And I just realized that there's no wizard. It's a guy behind the curtain. And I was pissed. Right? I felt like I was taken advantage of. I felt like I bought into a bunch of shit that really didn't mean as much as they told me that it means. So from that year on, we never entered another award show. Right? I was asked to enter. I was given free entries. I was called by leaders of different organizations. Why won't you enter your work in our competition? And whenever I shared my bit of story, they got a little somber on them, and at least they understood why. Now, that doesn't mean that we haven't won any awards. The awards that I valued most were the Media All-Star Awards we won 2 years ago, and I'll tell you why. Because somebody nominated Idea House for three different categories, and people voted that knew me, that knew my agency, and they knew the work that we had done. And we won in all three categories. We won for Best Creative Department, we won for Best Interactive Social, and we won for Best Boutique Agency. And those three awards are the only ones that I've got in my studio today that really means anything to me.
Well, wait a minute. I hear you there. fair. But why now, the fact that you were nominated, why did that make it different? Because they weren't the people that judged you in the end.
They weren't.
How was it judged that one?
Somebody entered him on his behalf. They nominated. It's like he's saying.
So you didn't try.
No, we didn't try.
Somebody said, these people are doing good work. They should be recognized, which is an actual recognition as opposed to,
oh, I see. So to you, that was the recognition even more so than that you won later.
Yeah, because everybody learned how to game the system, right, once you started getting into the award show, right? You see agencies that win all these massive awards. You really think that they're great. They're not that great. What they do is they learn how to beat the system.
Right.
They take one piece of work and they enter in six categories. They take a campaign and they bring it down into single entries. They offer to do free work for nonprofit organizations because they've got a great idea, but they don't have a paying client that's going to let them to do it.
But wait a minute, Kevin, aren't you talking about public relations now?
No, I'm talking about all of communications.
I know, but isn't it that you're talking about the people that are actually winning the awards that are beating the system because they're using PR, because they're getting, in other words, the person who's on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine is not necessarily the whatever person this month, but that girl has good PR people.
They do.
They have
right.
Good,
so he's saying
publicity.
The awards say this is for the artistic advertising excellence, but what the award really is just a job. It's just a PR move for us
so
to advertise
PR.
Ourselves. So the awards end up not meaning anything what they mean. They just mean you put on the best campaign to win it. You should actually win an award for the campaign you put on to win the award as opposed to.
But isn't that everything? I mean, isn't that the presidential elections? Isn't that the Oscars? I mean, isn't it about putting out the billboards? I mean, it is just
yeah,
campaign.
It is. No, they're all like that. No, they are. I think the Oscars is the only one that has a remote chance of some kind of worthiness to it, except
well, how do you figure you have to, if you're a member of the Academy?
Just because it's such a small amount of people, but that's a whole other weird thing because there's only like 1,500 people voting
but that's
for
still
the Oscars. 1,500,
but that's just because they're a member of the Academy. It doesn't mean that they've seen every movie. I mean, trust me, if you're a member of the Academy and you have a friend who's up for an award, guess who's going to get that award? I mean, it's all rigged, isn't it?
It is. I think it's harder to cheat to win an Oscar than any of the other ones.
Well, look at the
harder to manipulate.
Right.
It's you can manipulate it. I think it's harder and more expensive.
Right. Well, look at the words we're using: cheating, game. Right? Yeah, I've heard some people say, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. Right? The system exists, and there are ways to manipulate the systems. Don't some people manipulate the systems? Don't we manipulate systems on behalf of our clients? Of course we do. I'm just talking about as a creative, as somebody who, you know, really takes my craft seriously, and I've got to look at myself every day in the mirror, and I know what I did and I know what I didn't do, right? And I know a lot of people that have got a stack of awards that didn't do the work and they didn't earn it. So I can't see putting so much weight as a society into these awards, these facades, these merit badges of bullshit.
Okay, now what if somebody called you the sexiest man alive on the cover of People magazine? What would you say then?
I think we all know this bullshit. Really.
Hang on.
I mean, I'm pretty cute, but I'm not the sexiest man alive.
Christine did not bring up her award as the sexiest 46-year-old
in America. It wasn't sexiest. It was, I think it was like prettiest or something.
It was something in People magazine
last
year.
I didn't put myself in, somebody else put me in.
Right.
Well, see, isn't that different, though? How did
you
feel?
Well, I still don't feel like I'm the prettiest. No, I mean, no, it still didn't. I mean, I thought that was because my friend submitted my picture, and I think they got a picture. They needed somebody 46 at the time. Mm. My picture had some clarity to it. It was taken by a professional photographer.
Right.
The light was good, and I'm not horrible. You know what I mean? That's what I think. I think the stars aligned that day for me.
Right. Exactly.
Although I'll tell you something, I got no award, I got no accolades, and I got, you know, a letter from the lady at the, you know. So
oh, did you get a letter?
Anything.
You at least got a letter.
Yeah, but it doesn't
because
mean a goddamn thing.
Because your picture
who
was
cares?
About that big. But it was
who
pretty
cares?
Awesome. We all enjoyed it. By the way, speaking of what people look like, if you're wondering what Kevin looks like, we're talking about advertising. Kevin looks exactly, if Don Draper were alive and living in San Diego today, that's exactly what he would
that's
look
right.
like. He would have the hair with the highlights
and
come forward. He's
Kevin,
wearing a tight
right,
T-shirt. So instead of the tie and the like, hi, here's my fabulous haircut.
And let me tell
haircut,
you something. Kevin Popovich has not changed that much since college. You see, Hannes, when he walked in the cafeteria in 1985 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he walked into the Duquesne University cafeteria, he commanded
He looked
attention.
Like a surfer then. Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
And that was in Pittsburgh where there was no sign of water for, you know,
yeah.
well,
I was walking the
rivers.
Skater skater thing then, right?
No, so okay, yes, you, right. Were, good. Yeah. You were yeah. rocking the skater marijuana theme, as I recall.
Yeah, there was a number of things. I experimented with a number of media and other things in the 70s and early 80s.
Early 80s, try late 80s, whatever. The point is, when you were there in Buffalo and you're looking at all those entries, as a judge, were you just supposed to look at what it looked like visually? Or because, in other words, how could somebody, if they had a budget of, you know, $25,000, how could you possibly compare that with a budget of $500?
Yeah, it was a beauty pageant. I mean, because by time alone and the number of entries that we had to go by, you literally could not spend more than 3 or 4 minutes at a table. So, for instance, you get to the category of an ad campaign or brochure where you actually, God forbid, have to read something. How do you assess the better copy over the other? You couldn't. And that was the frustrating part. You know, I was so excited to be a judge for this thing. And then when you saw behind the curtain, I was so disillusioned.
It's very disillusioning. What does an Addy look like anyway? Let's get down to that.
It looks like a pyramid, a very clear pyramid.
Sounds like a Scientology level.
Yeah, it's got a little Scientology thing going on.
I don't like that. Is it a Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon? Is there that kind of a triangle?
Yeah, right. So we tried to shoot light through the side of it. Didn't do the prism thing. No, because like everybody's like, hey, Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, put a lighter next to it.
Yeah, right?
Hide a lighter hand.
Oh, here it is. I see it. Yeah, it's like a star, but like an A.
I see.
A star and an A.
And of course, they have local, regional, and then the national level. So those are like the three tiers.
I was going to say, people in Buffalo, if you had come from like Manhattan or Los Angeles, they're probably like, ooh, thank God he's judging us. But people in Buffalo look at a guy from Pittsburgh, they'd be like, what the fuck? This is a lateral move. Who the fuck are you to come in here? Oh, you're so much better than me, Mr. Pittsburgh? I don't think so.
As loyal as I can be from the 412, you know, you got a level where you come up from. I think I'd have to argue that we've got a notch above Buffalo. I
mean, All right.
Have you been to Buffalo?
I've never been to Buffalo. It's true. No, I'm not even saying it's true.
Oh my gosh.
Our sound engineer is from Buffalo.
Sean Merrick, sound engineer is from Buffalo. That is crazy talk.
So when I went to Buffalo, I was introduced by the locals to the Canadian Ballet, which was one of the finer artistic traditions in the area, which just means you went across the bridge to the strip clubs
over
in Canada.
And that's the ballet.
That's apparently what they call
the
ballet.
Listen, when I was a flight attendant.
Suddenly Buffalo is shooting way up in my eyes.
We would fly into Buffalo. We stayed at a motel right on the property. It was called the Buffalo Airways Motel. That's where we stayed. It was like right off the
runway.
There's
some hot sex going on there.
I'll tell you something. The walls were so thin and the rooms were so small. If you had to get an ironing board, you had to use it in the hallway. And there were no phones. This is so long ago. There were no phones, no clocks in the room. And so in the morning, the lady at the front desk would just come and knock on your door. That was your wake-up call. The lady knocking at your door. And one more thing about Buffalo. When we would fly into Buffalo, as soon as we would land, the pilots would call into the airport and order out wings. Because there was something about Buffalo wings.
Yeah.
And always have an order of Buffalo wings waiting for the crew.
No. I believe that I would like Pittsburgh better than I would like Buffalo. But I believe the people in Buffalo
would not
up an argument with me.
They would.
Plus the Buffalo Bills, the fans are insane. The football fans, they would definitely rival the Steeler fans.
You guys got Super Bowls, though.
Yeah, we do have Super Bowls.
Who got six?
All right, Kevin, let's talk about your book, 20 Years Communications, 20 Leaders, 20 Questions, Hundreds of Lessons. And there's so many numbers going on.
There's a lot of numbers.
A lot of numbers.
Although it has nothing to do with numerology.
So 20 years communications. What are you taking? You're taking us from the beeper to the iPhone. What are we doing?
Yeah, so when I started the agency in 90, right, communications was easy. TV, radio, outdoor, print. You didn't have a lot of options, but it was easy to get a million eyeballs, right? And then 91, Berners-Lee introduces the internet. 92, we take it over for our evil marketing purposes, right? And then everything changed. Right, market segmentation started changing. There was now a websites and online ads and pay per click, and then the cable channels diversified. Right, you know, you went from the big three, right, ABC, CBS, NBC, and remember when Fox was the big deal? Oh my God, a fourth network! What will we do with four channels? Right, and then the proliferation of cable. Then it's hundreds of cable channels. Right, so the challenge had become, how do you get a million eyeballs? So everything changed from there, and over 20 years. We talked about 20 people that have been in the same business as me, in the communications business, but in different industries. So I've been in communications as a whole, but we have people that are in advertising, in marketing, in production, in media, in public relations, in design. And I picked 20 questions that I thought really looked at the big picture of communications, and I asked everybody the same questions. And you ask 20 people the same question, you get 11 different answers.
Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't know that was the premise of the book.
Yeah.
So it's one question to 20 leaders in the field.
Yeah, and we got everybody's different perspective. And that's an issue that I've had in communications. When I started the agency, we called it a creative communications agency. So people are like, so you're like an advertising agency? We're like, yeah, we do advertising, but we do all of communications, right? And then somebody said, oh, so you're a design shop? We're like, yes, we do design, but we handle all of communications. So then, you know, there's a jackass in every crowd. So we get some guy that said, oh, so you're a jack of all trades, master of none. And I thought about it. I'm like, no, I'm kind of like Bruce Lee. I learned all these different forms, and I can kick your ass with any of these, right?
Well, they work together, and you're doing it from a management
perspective. They're supposed to work
together. You're doing it from a management position. So it's not like you're doing all these things. You're giving out the work. You're delegating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so as the CEO founder, really communications director is my working title. We help our clients develop a communications plan. We develop all the creative elements that the plan calls for, and then we help them make sure that everything gets deployed and managed.
Okay, what's the lowest dollar amount you can work with? People come to you, they say, Idea House, we need, I need a whole camp, I need 10 things done. Campaign, website, this. And you say, wait a minute.
And I say, wait a minute. So let's take a look at your wish list. Let's put a price tag on it. And you tell me how soon you need them done. And we divide it by that time. So we work with accounts. We don't do very much project work anymore.
I see. You do accounts. Okay, from businesses, you mean.
Yeah, so we're B2B, B2C, nonprofits. We help our clients make smart decisions about their business communication.
You're such a businessman,
Kevin. I know, very different
than
back in the day.
It's interesting because, see, I knew Kevin in college. We made out. Did I tell you that, Hannes?
I'm shocked by this admission.
And I think that it's interesting, though, because you always seem more creative, but yet you've taken on this business role.
Because a creative has got to have work to be able to stay a creative.
Did you hear that, Sean Merrick? Yeah, I hear you, man. Okay.
Listen, so I
he's busy, hey, though. He's still giving you the finger behind all that buffalo bashing.
We want a potty. We know. No, but
yeah,
it's
we got
true.
A potty.
There
yeah.
has to be a way for the creative side. It's frustrating because
no, the two sides of the brain are often not in the same person.
But on one hand, you know, the consumer. There's a level that it's consumer friendly. Everything is. You know, you want a podcast, then make a podcast. You want a television show, make a television show. I mean, in other words, you can make a vision of any of those things. But it's hard as a creative person to then have to learn about editing on GarageBand.
What about accounting? What about, like, what's an invoice look like? You know,
right.
Or what's terms? Or, you know, what's
no,
your cash
it's,
flow?
It's hard. And so, no, Hannes and I have been doing the show over 3 years, and we've had to learn all these things.
No, I know. And you get these, yeah. And it, like, even like when you do commercials, like we've done, it's like you get these, you know, you get the check, and it breaks down like, well, this was paid from, you know, this was a hotspot, and this was a this, and this was a that. And your actor brain just starts melting. It's like, I don't understand any of these terms. I don't know what any of this stuff means. And it's like so the opposite of what you have to do when you're being creative.
Right.
And,
yeah,
never
like
and they never taught us any of that.
No, they don't
Yeah, they
teach
never
you
taught
that.
Us. That's exactly right. They never teach. No, but there's no acting studio in this town that's like, by the way, we're going to spend a week out of the 52 weeks about how you should make some money as an actor and
or
what
even
you should
who
do
you
with
are,
it.
Or what's your persona? I mean,
and what's your persona?
You go in, you think
what are you
going
to, you know, how to read? I would have loved one of our classes from, you know, an acting class where it said, here's how you read a check. That's a residual check. What do these terms mean?
$1.72. What are you going to spend
right,
on?
Right, exactly.
Well, I think they want to just put you in these nice little boxes, right? You know, you're a marketing major, so you join the Student American Marketing Association, you finish your marketing degree, you get an internship at a marketing firm, and you work in marketing. And then you badmouth the ad agency and the PR firm that's trying to take work away from the client that you think that you control.
Yeah.
Advertising does the same thing, PR does the same thing, right? I mean, advertising thinks that they, you know, they're the agency of record, which they love to throw around, so they're in charge. You know, public relations like to think, well, we're the ones that gets in touch with the media. We're really in charge. And you think any of those guys really have the client's best interest in mind? No, they're all pissing away, trying to cockblock everybody else to try and get the biggest part of the check and to show the other firm up that we're
That's
really
right.
In
I've seen Mad Men.
But
That's
you're
it.
A businessman. I mean, you have to do that too. I mean, you're right in there. You're in the rat race.
Well,
you
we're a little different, right? So I try to go a step above that stuff. And that's why I've always looked at communications.
And that's why you don't work in PR.
We do some work in PR. But I think the challenge is, how do you really run this business with the best interests of the client in mind? And I think you have to keep the client in mind. The clients are the ones that pay us, that allow us to do what we want to do.
How couldn't you keep them in mind? Of course.
I'd be surprised who can't keep people in mind, you know, in this business.
Are you one of those guys who can walk around or go around town and you know the font of everything you're looking at?
Yeah.
Like my girlfriend Carolyn's like this. She's like, there it is, Helvetica. Oh yeah, Futura. I can't believe they use Comic Sans.
I've got so tainted, you know, because a lot of our job is to make things better.
Yeah.
So when I look at things, I often look at what's wrong with them, not what is right with them. I'm like, why'd they cast her? She was horrible in that. Who wrote that line?
But this is a good logo, right? Story worthy.
That rocks.
It's a great logo, isn't it?
I think that's tattoo worthy.
That's what I should get. That's my new tattoo. That's
your new tattoo on your lower back.
I'm going to get a license plate. I'm going to get a tramp stamp
of story worthy
with an arrow down to my ass. Hey, would you like to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
I would love to.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Prom. So my senior year in high school at the prom, white tux with tails. And we had a group of us that had gone out after the prom and got quite a bit of drinking in. Coincidentally, the prom got scheduled next to the same day that I had to be a guest DJ on WDVE. So I took my drunken date and the rest of our party, showed up at the studios at WDVE with my playlist, knowing that my school would be listening the next day. So this is my big chance, right? I'm going to make, you know, my big splash. So I had my whole playlist, and I started off Drop a Needle on the Eagles, the Disco Strangler, and proceeded with with the rest of my hour. It was well received by the rest of the school. I had my 15 minutes of fame, and that was my story about the prom and the first time I was a DJ.
Wow. Okay, so your prom ended with a bang. That was a good prom.
Figuratively and literally, yes.
Yeah, that was a good prom.
Oh, wow. I mean, look at that little backdoor brag.
You got laid at the prom. 17.
I just say, you know, it's prom.
It worked out.
And then I was on the DJ on the radio.
Yeah,
that's got some play.
I mean,
come on. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Kids today don't understand.
You know, it's interesting, though, that WDVE was a huge station in Pittsburgh, and they had Jimmy Crennan for 25 years.
Oh, yeah.
Then they dump him.
They did.
Which is just sick.
Well, it was Jimmy and Steve right before that. Steve got the kibosh.
Yeah, but the thing is Jimmy Crenn had such a bigger career,
yeah,
and he'd been doing so well, and then they can him.
There's at least five people interested in this topic, but go ahead. No, I'm kidding.
But the good news is Jimmy Crenn now has a podcast, of course, No Restrictions, and here with Sideshow Network, which is a
very
really, he's
guy.
So freaking talented, and he's also the nicest guy in the goddamn world.
Is he still in Pittsburgh, or is he out here now?
He's in Pittsburgh, but he's on Sideshow Network as well, and I love that guy. He's been on Storyworthy before. I shot a show in Pittsburgh, and he came on the program for us, so he's awesome. All right, so listen, 20 Years Communications, where do people find this fine book?
On Amazon.
Amazon, that's a good place. And you know what the folks can do is they can go over to storyworthypodcast.com.
Click on the Amazon banner.
Click on my Amazon banner, our Amazon banner.
Then Storyworthy, yes.
We get a little bit of money, and that works out really well.
That's right. We should always, you can buy this, you can buy other embarrassing things. This will cover the embarrassment. You buy the Civil War pornography, but you also order this very good book, and people are like, the people judging you at Amazon, and believe me, they judge you so harshly.
No, they don't. That's not
they
true.
They don't judge you. They don't care. They're all naked doing cocaine.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I'd like to thank Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network for helping us out tonight on Storyworthy. And, of course, Jorge Reyes, he helps us out every darn week, and Joe Slepsky. I'd also like to thank John Thomas Griffith, who came up with our theme song, Follow Me.
Huh?
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Kevin Popovich. Kevin Popovich, thanks so much for coming up from San Diego. And of course, you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.